I want God to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that I don't have room enough to contain, but that can't happen unless I'm faithful to Him. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter? Starting in verse number 15. It says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Every one of us go through different stages in our life, back many stages all through the year. But as a body, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we have compassion, sympathy, even weep for those if you really love them. Then if you turn to Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." A woman which was a sinner, "and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." And then if you'll go to Psalms 56, verse number 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God sees everything. He feels everything that we go through. We have a high priest that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, because he has been tempted in all points, just as we. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word tonight, God, that you touch it, anoint it. God, that somehow it would affect each and every one of us. Let it minister to us. Amen. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, in 34 years of pastoring, my wife has never come to me and said, "You know what? I think this is what you should preach on." Never. I countless times she'll say, "What did God give you?" Or, "What have you been thinking about? Has God talked to you?" But this last week, she came to me and said, "Here's something I feel that you need to teach on." And perhaps it was because of the loss of her mother. There were times where I'd walk into her office and she'd be in tears. And in the morning, she'd be sad because a reflection on losing her mother in December. Some of this I actually taught 12 years ago. We were married for 9 years before we ever came into the church. And up until that time, my wife never, ever saw me cry. But as I was in the last pew of this Pentecostal church, I couldn't help but break down and start weeping. I couldn't understand it, and she's never seen me cry like that before, but there was something about the power of God that caused me to begin to weep. Tears are an emotion that comes from deep within us. You know, you can laugh at a bad joke. You can smile when you're hurt. But there's something about tears. When tears come, it's an emotion that's deep within us. Most feel it strongest when we're in the presence of God. It's a common emotion as we feel the presence of God. And I've been with hundreds of people over the years, maybe even thousands, that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and in almost all cases, there have been tears before there are tongues, because God touches them so deeply that there's an emotion within them that releases tears. In Bible days, it was a common practice to collect them. Imagine? People would use tear bottles, and they were symbols of grief. And even today, you can buy tear bottles in collector's shops just because they are ornate and crafted out of glass, and they look great, so people want to put them on their shelves, some costing up to $100 a bottle because of their intricacy. These tear bottles were commonly used during the Roman times. Mourners filled these glass vials with their tears and placed them in burial tombs as a symbol of their love for the people who were buried. The Bible speaks about it many times. My wife was given a tear bottle several years ago by another pastor's wife, and it was made in Egypt, and I brought it tonight. I promised my wife I wouldn't break it. But they would use this and put it underneath their eyes to collect the tears. We are starting a tear bottle ministry in the church. We're going to be giving bottles like this to everybody to go around and collect tears. We're probably not using these. They probably use gallon milk drugs, you know. Glory to God. There isn't a service that goes by that somebody doesn't start weeping. And sometimes people think maybe there's something wrong with me because I haven't wept. You know, because it's such a common thing. How many men have you seen stand in this pulpit with tears streaming down their face? These things have been found in ancient Egypt. It also refers to what David said in Psalms 56 and 8, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" What God is saying is, I have collected every tear that you have ever shed. He collects our prayers, but he also collects our tears. Or are they not a remembrance of my feelings towards you? This scripture reminds us that God is sensitive to every sorrow that we go through. During the Victorian period of the 19th century, the tear bottles reappeared again. Mourners would collect their tears in ornate decorative bottles with special stoppers that allowed the tears to slowly evaporate. And when they were gone, the mourning period was supposed to be over. Collect all the tears at the funeral. When the tears are gone, you can go on with your life. But there is a book of remembrance that will never change. God remembers. He remembers. We try to forget sometimes, but God doesn't. Most of all of us filled dozens of tear bottles. Oh, we didn't hold up bottles to our cheeks, but nevertheless, tears have flowed from our cheeks, not only in the presence of God, but also in difficult times and sorrow. And although the tears of sorrow have long evaporated, the heart has recorded every memory of life. Tears when my mother passed away. Tears when my father passed away. I was in Paris at the time, and couldn't be there. And then I went through the mental gymnastics of woulda, coulda, shoulda. If I would have been there, what would have happened? And you can't go there. You know, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he's the only one who can give life. He's the only one who can take life. Tears when my grandson passed away. I remember that day so vividly. I don't think I've ever prayed with greater fervence than that day. I remember when Brother Curatola passed away of a heart attack and I was close to him. I had waves of grief for literally weeks. I've shed tears for many of you as you went through tragedies in your life, losses of loved ones, and hard situations. It's because of the value of the relationship that the tears flow. It's because of the value of the relationship we have with our God that tears flow. Touched by your feelings, and then your feelings become my own. The same with you. Feeling that caused tears to stream down your cheeks and capture in a bottle, held by God. Held by God. He's calculated them all. We need to always remember that our God, our Lord Jesus, has felt these same emotions and displayed them as a reminder to us that he has such compassion for those that he loves. We get this feeling like, I'm going through this, but God doesn't know. He doesn't understand. You have to explain to him, no, if there's anyone who understands sorrow, if there's anyone who understands grief, it's our God. Turn to John 11th chapter, please. Verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. I wonder how many times we've asked something similar. God, if you would have only... When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which had come with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest and most powerful scripture in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Why? You see, he knew in just a matter of minutes Lazarus was going to be alive. He wasn't so concerned that he's lost. It's going to be a long time before I see him. But in just a moment, when he calls him forth, he's going to be alive again. But he wept because of his compassion. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Can you imagine the value of one tear shed by God? Now there's some value. I don't believe it was just one tear that slipped out of the corner of his eye. I believe that God broke down with compassion for his friend. Perhaps he sobbed. Verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Aren't you glad we have a God that has compassion? For example, he's the one who can comfort us. He is the comforter, you see. Oh, we try to comfort one another, but there isn't anything like the touch of Jesus Christ when we're all alone, surrounded by people. As Jesus was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as everyone was rejoicing and praising God, right after he said, if these rocks hold their peace, if these will hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. He stopped, and in Luke 19 and 41, he said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. You know what he was weeping over? He was weeping over lost people. I can't tell you how many times I wept over lost people, people I knew weren't going to make it. People who knew God and walked away, I wept. People who will never know God, I've wept over. Because I remember coming to the church, and I asked God for just two things. I said, God, give me a love for your word, and give me a love for your loss. If you love this book, I've wept over this book I don't know how many times. I've wept over those who are lost. I've taught Bible studies that I could hardly continue in because there was such a power of God, and I just sat there and wept. You see, some people just don't understand the value. You know, as I grew up in my generation, we were told, you know, men don't cry. But Jesus cried. No one was more of a man than he is. So valuable that David said, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Not a bottle, but in your bottle, O God. Collect my tears, if you will. Are they not in thy book? Turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Verse number 14, very familiar scripture. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't waver. Don't walk away. Don't back up. Well, I'm just going to take it, you know, easy for a little while. You don't know if you can ever get back to the place that you were. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a compassionate God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every person is valuable to him. You see, every situation is valuable to him. You know, and you can't just get to the place where, you know, I'm going to tough this out by myself. That's ignorant. I'm just going to go in a corner someplace and no. We have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He wants us to boldly come before his throne in time of need. Somewhere between those ancient days of Egypt, another tradition arose concerning tear bottles. People hired professional mourners that carried their bottles and were paid based on how full the bottles were. Can you imagine? Could you please mourn for my loved ones, you know, cry the tears that would be collected? The tradition was that if a person collected a large bottle of tears, then safe passage to a life after is assured, based on how many tears the professional mourners. Sounds great. Your tears mark that your life had endured hardship, and thus you were worthy of eternal life. People would literally give tears to someone they cared about to help them reach this mystical quota to get into the afterlife. My. That bottle of tears then became a ticket into the next world. You know, what I have noticed is, and this isn't being derogatory, but the nominal churches that I've come out of did shed many tears. It didn't seem like they had the compassion for one another or even a compassion for God. It was more of a traditional thing rather than an emotional response to God. But since I've come into Pentecost, I haven't stopped weeping, you know? In those first few years, I always carried two handkerchiefs with me because one handkerchief wasn't enough, you know? It's an emotion that rises up deep within us. If you don't have a close relationship with the person who died, there aren't any tears. We have to have a close relationship, not only with God, but we have to have a close relationship with the body. You can't isolate yourself from the rest of the body. We pray for people who are going through things, heart surgeries, COVID, whatever, financial problems, the loss of a loved one. And there has to be something within us that says, I have compassion for those people because we are the body of Christ. I said it last Sunday, you know, if you stub your toe, your whole body hurts. When somebody loses someone, someone is hurt, someone has a setback somehow, the whole body should feel that way, you know. And sometimes that's not easy being a part of a whole congregation, you know, because, well, I'd rather just come and do my thing and I don't want to know about your situations. Jesus died for me and I weep for him. I'm not about to hire a professional weeper to fill the bottle. Hey, pastor, could you have compassion? I don't have time. You know, my wife cries all the time, but I never cry. Well, how's your relationship? You see, the value of our loss is based on how much we love the person. In our scripture text, a sinner woman crashes this dinner party with Jesus. Simon the Pharisee had a nice house and he wanted to show it off, so he invited Jesus. You know, you're not going to impress God, you know. We've got some nice lights. Did you see his lights in the sky? Got a great choir. You can't imagine what his choir is like. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into the imagination the things that God has prepared for them that love him, you see? So Simon has this little dinner, but this woman, unnamed woman, was nothing special. She wasn't invited and probably slipped in when nobody was watching. We have all heard the preaching of the alabaster box. I've preached it many times. I've laid out why the box had to be broken and what the value is, but something had escaped me over the years. And the scripture says she washed his feet with tears, dried them with her hair. There's a good reason to have long hair. Kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment from the alabaster box. We always assume that the tears from her eyes produced enough to wash his feet. And perhaps there was. But the Bible didn't say she washed his feet with her tears, but began to wash his feet with tears. Could it be that through many years of sorrow, she accumulated a full bottle of tears? You know, because it was a tradition at that time to save the tears for a funeral. Huh? And now she could continue to trust in the bottle of tears for her eternal well-being, or she could trust in Jesus that she heard about. She could either do what everyone else was doing, or she could pour out all her sorrows at the feet of Jesus. It's all built up over the years. And finally, I got to the Savior's feet, and I'm just going to let go. I'm going to let go all of my compassion. If there was anybody I believe that could help me, it's going to be Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever made your way down to the altar? You didn't know what to do. You didn't know who to talk to, but you came and you wept at this altar. I remember on 11/10/94. It was the night before we had our dedication of our new church building, half of what we have here. And I remember the words that I said. I said, we have brand new pews. They were just put down, brand new carpeting. We have a beautiful altar. We have these nice lights, and everything seems to be just perfect, except there's one problem. There's no snot and tears on these steps. If there was ever an anointing on a building, it's anointed with tears on the altar. How many times have each and every one of you come to this altar and wept tears before the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's something about that emotion, that release before God, that you shouldn't be embarrassed about. Some hire lawyers to take up their cause. Some tell everyone who will listen about all their troubles. Some just isolate themselves for the rest of the month or from the rest of the church, which is probably the most common. There's something within us that says, I just want to go in a corner someplace and be by myself. That's not the answer. You can't hire professional mourners to take up your cause. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're wasting your time collecting tears. You need to gather up all your sorrows and crash the party and lay him at his feet. I don't know what to do, but you do. I can't get beyond this, but you can. You're the comforter. Take all your grief, pour it out at the feet of Jesus, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Does he understand? Absolutely. He knows. He's been there. He's felt it. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's only one place to go. It's to Jesus. A sinner woman crashed the party. But Jesus said, wherever the gospel is going to be preached, this woman will be a memorial. There is no plan B. It's Jesus or nothing. I've got in my office cards on how to grieve, you know, the five steps of grieving, you know. No, just one step. Go to Jesus. You don't have to go through all of the other steps, folks. Hallelujah. The thief on the cross was, well, he was out of tears. There was no plan B for him. He is suffering. He is dying. He is in his last hour. And he makes one last appeal, not to the court, not to the governor, but Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. We can go to a lot of different people. We can go before an unjust judge. We can take up our own cause, and God will allow that to happen. But if we just went to him, you see, and Jesus is saying, oh, I remember, I have your bottle of tears. Jesus was waiting for him to let go of the past. And even though I remember some of the things that brought me to sorrow and brought me to tears, you know, I trust in him. And I have to let go of the past, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. God, why weren't you there? To let go of our traditions, to let go of guilt, to let go of excuses. And now that you've let go, you just gotta hold on to the one who can help you. Some of you have gallon jugs of tears. I just wondered, I thought today, how many tears have I shed since I've been into the church? Just amazing. And you've been accumulating your tears for years. Isn't it time that we poured them out at the feet of Jesus? Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's there. He's there. He's always been there. He'll always take care of us. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? How many times I've felt, how am I going to get through this? You know, what can I do? I said it last Sunday. I remember Sister Bidding, after she lost her husband on a Saturday, walking up to the altar and starting to worship. I remember a Sunday morning when Brother and Sister Portman walked in here after losing their son and raising their hands and worshiping God. You see, there's something within us that says, this is not going to take my joy. This is not going to take me away from God. It's going to draw me closer to God somehow, some way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus wept. It's recorded, but it continues. The altar's open. Would you come?